Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, I want to officially give you my welcome here this morning, whether it's your first time in a long time, or you've been rolling with us for a little while now. It is so good to just see your faces here in person, and then we're also excited for everybody watching and listening online. Those in the room, would you make some noise for those watching and attending online? Hey, we love you so much. And I know I sound like a broken record, y'all, but I just can't say it enough how grateful I am to be back together in person again. To me, there is no substitute. There's nothing like it. I want you to know it is good to see you in the house. In fact, I got to tell you, my family and I, a couple of years ago, we didn't move to Houston for me to preach to a camera every week. We came to do life together with you, and so it's so good to be back. And today is extra exciting for me because we begin a brand new series called When Life Gives You ... And I think every single one of us in the room and watching online, you can finish that sentence with me, right? Because it's a very famous saying. So help me out today. Be my friend. I want to be your friend. Help me preach this message. So let's say the whole line together and let's finish it. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Let's try that again. Come on, help me out. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. It's an old saying that, of course, is all about optimism, like making the best of your current circumstance, making the best of the situation, the culture that we all live in. And honestly, I think this is where we're at as a nation, as a culture. We all know this is not new information for you, that our nation is divided. There's not unity, there's division. There's racism, hate, violence, fear, panic, people losing their jobs, having their pay decrease. I mean, times are tough. Things are not going good. And so the question we must ask moving forward is, how do we get through this? Like, how do we see God do a miracle in the middle? And honestly, here's my mission and here's my plan for this series. During this series, we're going to learn some hard lessons on how we can actually get better and not bitter during difficult days. And I don't know about you, but I want that for my life. I don't want to get bitter. I want to get better. I want to learn. I want to grow. That's my heart for you and that's my heart for me. And so personally, I just want to be transparent with you. I need to get better at trusting God even when life gives me lemons. Like I need to get better at trusting God even when all hell is breaking loose in my life. And so for the rest of the service, you just need to be on alert, okay? Those in the room, those watching online, I'm not preaching just to you, I'm preaching to me, okay? Because I'm not where I want to be. I need to grow, and I hope that you'll have that same posture today. What can we learn even if it's a hard lesson? So if you have a copy of God's word with you, we're going to be in James chapter 1. Would you turn there with me here in the room and online? James chapter 1. We're going to read three verses because three verses are enough. We can get what God wants us to get. We're going to start in verse 2, go all the way through verse 4, and I'm reading out of the NIV. James chapter 1, starting in verse 2, and I'm going to jump right in because I don't have a lot of time. Here's what God's word says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever. In fact, would you shout that with me? Whenever. The Bible doesn't say if. The Bible says when. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. For those taking notes, I'm calling part one of this series, Happiness Through Heartache. Happiness Through Heartache. Let's pray together. Would you bow your heads with me? Jesus, we love you so much, and we just need you. There's so much turmoil, so much chaos going on. Forget the world for a moment, just in our nation. And even not just in our nation, but God, in our city, in our community, in us. There's so much fear. There's so much division. There's so much hate. God, there's so much panic and anxiety is at an all-time high. And so we just pray right now, God, that we would approach your word, even in the middle of all the bad, looking for you to somehow, it's miraculous, but somehow bring some good from it. To see lives change and start with us. To see our hearts change as you do spiritual heart surgery on each of us. And God, we don't just need to learn the easy lessons. We need to learn the hard lessons. So may we have that posture. May we have that readiness to receive from you. I pray this all the time, and I'm going to pray it again. Today, we don't just read the text. We ask the text to read us. We apply what your word's going to teach us today, or for some, teach us again. We apply it to our everyday life. May the Sunday change not just the Monday, but the rest of our lives, we pray. And if you believe it with me in faith, would you shout amen? Amen. Amen. We got some faith-filled people here today. I don't know about you, but to me, what we just read from the book of James is probably one of the most frustrating passages in the entire Bible. Like maybe not for you, because you're holy and you got a halo above your head and everything's great for you. But as I read the text, it's challenging. It's frustrating. Like on the surface level, everything that James just said, what we just read together in three short verses, they seem so unnatural, don't they? Like who on earth ever celebrates when their life is falling apart? In fact, none of you here have called me and said, you know what, Pastor, I am so excited that I can't pay my bills this week. Like, that's never happened. You've never done that before. Pastor, I'm so thrilled that our business is going under, that we worked on our entire lives. It's amazing. No, none of you do that. And who would do that? Like, nobody here would you throw a party celebrating your 15th divorce. Right? Like, we're going to get together and we're going to celebrate, Pastor. And I know we're adults, but there's going to be a pinata there and cake, and it's going to be awesome. Nobody does that. Nobody, unless they're delusional, right? And so when you read this text, I don't know about you, but for me, my honest gut reaction is to look away, like to read something else. Like, let's go to a happy psalm, right? Let's sing kumbaya together. Let's just clap our hands and smile and have a good time. You know, let's read John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Like this is challenging. I want to move on to something else. And maybe, just maybe, you feel that way too. Like, you're thinking to yourself, we came on the wrong Sunday. Man, I want to hear like faith, hope, and love. I don't want to hear a message on perseverance and pain. Really, Pastor? Like, we should have slept in this morning and attended St. Mattress. I mean, that would have been awesome. Nobody caught that. Okay, y'all can catch that later on. Like, help me out. Come on. Even if it wasn't funny, just pretend it was funny. Like, help a brother out. But like, I wish I didn't come today, because this is going to be a tough message. And if you're thinking that, you're right. This is a hard lesson. But even though it's uncomfortable, and even though it's difficult, the lessons we can learn from the text are actually necessary. They are. Like, you need this message. You do. This message is not for your friend or your spouse or your kids. It's for you. Like, you need this message, but guess what? So do I. I need to learn some things as well. So if you're open to learning something, if you have a posture that says, you know what, yeah, I know a few things, but I don't know everything. If you've got that kind of posture and you're open to learning the hard lessons and not just the easy ones, I got just a couple of points for you, and they're going to encourage you, but you better believe they're going to challenge you. I know they're challenging me. I'm not preaching just to you. If I could sit down on one of these front rows, I'd be there, because I need to hear this again and again. Here's the first point if you're taking notes. Number one, when life is hard, you can have hope even when you hurt. Like, you can have hope even when you hurt. I'm going to reread verses 2-3, because we got to get this deep into our souls. Consider it pure joy. Like not just happiness, pure joy, amazing joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever, remember, not if, whenever you face trials of many kinds. I love how James is not specific about the trials. Because you've been around long enough, you face some stuff. In fact, a lot of us, we're in some stuff right now. We're facing some difficult days because you know that the testing of your faith, and if you're taking notes and you got a physical copy, would you highlight that phrase? Would you circle it? Would you star it? The testing of your faith, what does it produce? It produces perseverance. You see, if James were here in the flesh, and if he could stare you in the eyes face to face like I am right now, I believe tenderly but passionately, he'd grab you by the shoulders. He may even shake you a little bit to make sure you're wide awake and ready to receive. And here's what I think he'd say to you. I know what you're going through right now is hard, but you can still have hope. I know what you face right now, it's not easy. You wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy, but you can still have hope in the middle of it. In fact, I think he'd say it to you this way. What you're facing is temporary pain, but it can be used for an eternal purpose. I don't think you got that all the way. Come on, help me out a little bit, okay? It's more fun if we do this thing together. This is temporary pain that can be used for eternal purpose. And to use James' own words, what does he say when we face trials? What does he say when we face difficulty? There is a testing of your faith. And that's an interesting phrase. And the reason why it's interesting is because it would have been very familiar to the original audience. If you study the whole book of James, and specifically even his life, he was the half-brother of Jesus. He saw some stuff. In fact, history tells us that more than likely, Jesus' half-brother, James, was not a Christian until after Jesus raised from the dead. Think about that for a moment. Live with Jesus, saw Jesus go through a lot of different things, perform miracles, and yet he was not a believer until after he saw the supernatural. His own brother risen from the dead. So I don't know about you, but I want to lean into what he has to say. And so he penned a letter, and the letter is going to help us thousands of years later. But to the original audience, it was a Jewish Christian audience. And when he used that phrase, the testing of your faith, it was on purpose because he knew what that phrase symbolized for the people back in Bible days. You see, back in Bible days, you know this, they didn't have credit cards, y'all. They didn't have PayPal. They didn't have apps on their phone called Venmo, where, hey, would you Venmo me some money? Would you, like, that didn't happen back then. What did they use? They used coins. And that phrase, the testing of your faith, was actually what they used back then to tell if a coin was real or fake. They would literally test it. They would put it into the fire. In the same way that if your pockets are like real deep and you go to the grocery store, like later on today, and you got the cash register there and they got the plexiglass and, you know, the shield and the face mask and all this kind of stuff. And you hand them a $100 bill because you got a lot of money. You hand them that $100 bill and they hold it up to the light, right? It's what they do. And they sometimes will use a pen or a marker and they'll definitely use the light to see if it's real or counterfeit. Well, back then, people still did counterfeits too, just like they do today. But they would make counterfeit coins. So again, in order to test the coin's worth, they would put it in the fire. And if it was real, and if it was precious metal, it would last. But if it was fake, it would melt away. And so again, James on purpose, y'all, uses this phrase, this term, when talking about your faith. He says this, that when you, again, I'm not talking to anybody else but you, when you go through a trial, it tests your faith, he says. It puts you in the fire. Some of you jumped into the fire on your own, and it's your fault. And others of you, the fire jumped on you, and you didn't do anything to deserve it. But either way, when you're in the fire, you will come out on the side, and your faith will either be true and genuine, or it'll be false and counterfeit. That's what James says. So make this personal. Today, I know this is one of the things that I'm learning. I'm learning that my faith in God is not shown when I'm on the mountaintop. It's revealed when I'm in the valley. I'm learning that. And if you haven't learned that lesson, you must learn that lesson. Like when things are going great, it doesn't say much about my faith. It's when all hell is breaking loose and I keep the faith, or in fact even grow in my faith, that's when my faith is shown to be true. So the question you got to ask yourself, will my faith hold up even when I'm hurting? Will my faith hold up when it seems like everything is failing in my life? You see, a faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. If I'm taking notes, I would write that down. A faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. And this is a hard lesson. But if you're a Christian, you better learn it. Because some of us were trying to learn the same lesson for decades. Because God isn't getting through to us. And the problem is not with his microphone. The problem's with our ears. That we're not listening. That we're not willing to learn. But this is a hard lesson. Well, Pastor, what you talking about? That's not easy. That's not fun. When has God's word ever, and I've read the whole thing many times, when does it ever say that your life will be easy? It doesn't. In fact, it promises that it will be hard. And so should we be surprised when things go awry? Should we be surprised? I'm not saying you should like it. I'm saying you should love what you learn from it. Can I get an amen? So if you're here and you consider yourself a mature Christian, I should be able to look like how you handle the worst day of your life to know if that's true. Just the truth. Can I tell you something? If I'm not saying the truth, you can shout me off this platform. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. Maturity does not come automatically with years behind it. Like you could be a Christian for 10 plus years, decades, but still be immature. So the Bible tells us, don't be mad at me, be mad at James. The Bible tells us here that if you're mature, you should still have pure joy even when life goes wrong. You see, we can become joyful in pain, not because we love the pain, but because we know what the pain can bring. That's maturity. Well, that's not easy. I know it's not easy, but it develops perseverance. And so we see here, hopefully what he's saying is becoming more clear. We see here that there is a benefit to pain in this life, but there's also a benefit to pain in the life to come. If you still get the Bible open, would you move on a little bit in chapter 1 to chapter 12? Here's what James says more on this idea as he fleshes it out in Scripture. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, there's that phrasing again, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Temporary pain, eternal purpose. Here's the second point, and I only have two. Going quickly here. Number two, when life is hard, you can grow if you don't give up. You can grow if you don't give up. This is verse 4. Let perseverance finish. Come on, somebody shout finish. Come on, somebody shout finish. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And to me, this is the hardest lesson. Real transparent with you. Like, don't put me on a pedestal that I don't deserve to be on, okay? I am a mere mortal just like you. Like this is hard for me. For me, it's so easy to give in to the temptation to give up. I wanted to give up on a lot of Mondays, y'all. Like a lot of Mondays. It's easy to want to throw in the towel. It's a temptation for me and probably for you. Well, I don't really like my job anymore, Pastor. I mean, I'm grateful I have one because I know so many people who don't have one, but I don't like it, so I'm going to switch jobs because the next one has to be better. It just has to be. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side. And more money, Pastor, always equals more happiness. If you don't know me, I was being sarcastic about that. Well, I don't like this relationship anymore, Pastor. We've been married for years, and they just drive me crazy up the wall. And so I'm just going to try a new one. I download the app. What's it called? Tinder? I'm going to download that. Or I'm going to log on online to farmersonly.com. And I'm going to find me a farmer. That's a real thing, by the way. Like, I bet, Pastor, that new person, they're going to never offend me. They're going to always look good even when they wake up in the morning. Their breath's always going to be smelling great. They're going to agree with everything that I say and do. I mean, it's going to be awesome. Well, I definitely don't like this church anymore, Pastor. you yell way too much. like you do. Well, they don't sing my favorite song enough. You know, I'm more a Hillsong person, not a Bethel person. Or I want more hymns, or I want less hymns, or I want more instruments. Remember how we grew up in the day and we had it was like an orchestra up here. And you had that person on saxophone and they had saxophone solos. It was awesome. Spirit would drop. And we had cloths used to cover people and they were always red like the blood, crimson. Well, I don't like this anymore, so I'm going to go on down to the next church because y'all know we got 50 million churches on every corner here in Houston. Which one you want? Which one? Methodist, Baptist, Bapticostal. It's like a mixture of Baptist and Pentecostal. Like, what do you want? We got it in spades. Well, I just go on to something else. I'll try the new thing, and what happens, I'm telling some jokes, but here's where I get serious. What has happened, it's not happening, it has already happened. We live in a culture where we quit way too early, and we give up on so much so often. It's the culture that we live in, where we, when things get hard or less convenient, we bounce. Peace out, I'm done. And because of this, we have a lot of immature Christians walking around. That the second that they're pushed to grow, the second that they get uncomfortable, they're out, they're done, they move on to the next thing. But let's be honest, maybe you don't need a new job. Maybe you don't need a new spouse. Maybe you don't need a new church. Maybe you just need to learn the hard lesson God has for you in this moment. If I'm telling the false, if I'm lying, you shout me down off this platform here. But I believe I'm bringing the truth. We must stick it out. We must keep going. We must not give up. You'll grow if you don't give up. The truth is, if you want to experience something deep and meaningful, you've got to be willing to endure. You've got to. I know we're microwave culture, but last time I checked, the Bible is really clear that we're to be in the world, but not of the world. So yeah, let's impact people. We're not going to be just in our own Christian bubble. As Dante said earlier during the announcements, we've got to get out. It's not just come and see, it's go and tell. We've got to be salt and light. All of that's true, but we also must be in the world, but not of the world. What's that mean? It means we should be different. We should make a difference. What are you talking about? I'm talking about sacrifice. I know that's not fun. I know that's not us sitting together, you know, 6 feet apart and singing Kumbaya. I get it. But it's a hard lesson you've got to learn. I won't even talk to you. It's a hard lesson that I've got to learn. I'm not there yet. Got to be willing to stick it out. Think about an Olympic athlete for a moment. Just a small example, but I think it will help somebody. Olympic athlete, we all know that they're at the top of their sport. The best in the world just to even qualify for the Olympics. How many of you know that the Olympic athletes that are going to perform and on a huge worldwide stage this next summer as it got postponed, how many of you know that they don't eat Taco Bell every day? They don't sleep in till noon every day and just roll out of bed? You know what? I think I'll do the 40-yard dash. I think I'll, like, that didn't happen. You can trace back their success to elementary school. Can I break a myth out there, like at this moment? There is no such thing as an overnight success. Maybe you noticed it overnight, but you can take it back years and in many cases, decades of faithfulness, decades of sticking it out, decades of continuing forward. If that illustration doesn't do it for you, think about your own life. Think about your own life. I think about mine. Definitely not an Olympic athlete, but this is still true for me. Anything that I have a value, anything deep and meaningful, it took time. It took time. There was perseverance required. And so don't sit there or wherever you're watching and say, you know what, well, that's not for me. It's for you. If you want things that are deep and meaningful, and you do, you must learn the art of perseverance. Think about anyone in your world that has a great marriage. Like, man, I wish my marriage, I'm not even married, but I wish when I'm married one day, my marriage could look like that. Like, think about anybody. Picture that couple right now. Anyone who has a great marriage, they persevered. You better believe they went through some tough days. Like, you better believe they had some difficult conversations, that there was some pain, that there were some tears. Like you better believe it. If you know someone who has incredible kids, like, think about that family. Like, your kids are younger than theirs. Their kids are grown now and living for God and doing amazing things. You're like, man, if my kids could be like their kids one day, that would be awesome. Think about that family. Everybody, picture it right now. You better believe they persevered. You better believe they had to discipline their children. You better believe that they stayed up late praying and crying over their children in an act of rebellion. Like, you better believe that they had to stick it out, that they wanted to give up time and time again, but they did not give up. If you know anyone who's an incredible leader, they inspire you. Man, they lead so well. They're so humble, but yet they're bold. Think about that person right now. You better believe that they persevered. And so if you're like me and you have some battles you're currently facing, and oh, I do, the best thing you can do is not ask God to get you out of the situation, but instead ask God what you can get out of the situation. It's a different mindset, isn't it? What do we do instead? And I say we because it starts with me. You know, we get a hangnail, or, you know, we get a splinter. Oh, God, this is the worst day ever. Oh, man. Like, I'm not speaking for you. I'm like me, just whining, complaining. Like, God, do you know what I do for you? Like, all the sacrifices that I make and all the times that I pray and I read and I study and I'm nice to that person even though I know they're talking about me behind my back. God, do you know? Just complaining. And what do I pray? I pray, God, get me out of this situation. But that's not maturity. If I was mature, what would I pray instead? God, what can I get out of this situation? Do you see the difference? It's subtle, but it's life-changing. Oh, I can't believe that I've got this illness, and it's such a struggle. Or I can't believe that this person that I'm married to, man, they got issues. Forgetting that you chose to say yes a while ago. But I cannot believe, I mean, they got some problems. God, get me out of this relationship. Instead of, God, what can I learn in this moment? That's a mature person. How can I grow? Here's another way to say it as you pray. God, what are you teaching me that I could not learn unless I had pain? That's hard. But God hasn't called us to do the easy thing. God's called us as Christians to do the right thing. And the right thing is most often the hardest thing. Again, if I'm blasphemous right now, if I'm speaking false stuff, you shout me off this platform. I've got full confidence that I'm speaking the truth. It's a hard lesson we must learn. And again, this is honestly how you can tell if someone's a mature believer or not. So if I looked at your life, the worst day, the worst moment, how did you handle that pain? Like, what did you post on social media that day? I know that one hurt a little bit, but it's okay. We're going to get through this together. Like, how did you pray that day? Did you pray that day? Did you grow closer to God in it? Or did you drift far away from God? Like, how did you respond? That's maturity. Did you spend your focus trying to get out from the pain? Or do you have the posture today of what can you get from the pain? I'm not there, but I want to get there. I want to get better. And not bitter. I want to grow. I want to mature. And I believe you do too. 10 years from now, I don't want to have to try to learn the same lesson that God's trying to teach me in this moment. I want to move on to other things. I want to move on to a deeper level of love and commitment. This is the kind of life that James describes, where you can find happiness through heartache. And so if you're going through some stuff, you've got an opportunity. Will you draw closer or will you drift away? Last thing I'll say, and then we'll pray. Somebody's got to hear this. There is no shortcut to spiritual maturity. Let that sink in. There's no shortcuts. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray for my friends in this room and online. I pray, God, you'd help us to learn this hard lesson. God, that we can still have hope even when we hurt. And many of us, I know I'm in that category, we're hurting. There's pain. But as I've preached many times before, and I'll pray it right now, pain is a microphone. And oftentimes, unfortunately, we don't hear from you unless we're uncomfortable, because it causes us to look up to you. And God, I'm not saying that you do bad things, because you don't. You are only good. But you can use the bad things to teach us. You can use the difficult days. So may we not waste our pain. I'm not there, God, but I want to become spiritually mature. I want to grow, and I believe they do as well. It's the key that you clearly lay out in James chapter 1, is that we would finish. Yeah, we've skinned our knee. Yeah, we've fallen down time and time again. It may be the slowest lap of our life race. The key is not the speed. The key is to finish. To not give up. To persevere. To endure. To sacrifice. Just to make it as simple as possible to be more like you, Jesus. That's the goal. So may you help us to get to that place. May you help me to not just pray things, God, get me out of this situation, but to pray things like this, God, what can I get from this situation? What can I learn? What was I maybe not hearing before, and my ears are open now? What do you want to teach me? We're open to hear from you. With every eye closed, every head bowed, maybe you're here in this room, or maybe you're watching, attending online. And I want you to know that you're not here by accident. God loves you. God cares for you. God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Like even if somebody has shared this link, or you just came across it on your news feed and you just said, oh, I'll check this out, and you kept listening and kept watching, it's not a coincidence. It seems like that to us, but to God, he's orchestrated it all for this moment in time. Because what's happening right now is God is sliding across the table to you an opportunity for a fresh start, an opportunity to surrender your life to him, not just like your present or this week, your life, to give God everything. I use this terminology a lot, and people that have been in the church for a while, they know this, but to give God the good, the bad, and the ugly. Like everything. Stuff you're proud of, stuff you're not proud of. To literally say, God, I give you all of me. That opportunity is being presented to you in this moment. And you can choose, it's your choice, to surrender your life to God or to keep doing life on your own. And my hope and my prayer is that you would surrender. Not to a man, not to a church, but to God himself. Because he can take way better care of you than you could ever take care of yourself. So no one looking but me, please. If you're here today and you want to surrender your life to Jesus, if you want to give your life to him, maybe for the first time, maybe it's been a while and you want a fresh commitment. If that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer. But before I do, I want to know who I'm praying for. And would you raise your hand in this moment? I need to surrender my life to Jesus. Thank you so much. You can put it down. Anybody else? Thank you. Respond online as well. I want everybody to say this out loud with me. It's not about your volume. It's about meaning it with your heart. Just say this out loud after me. Jesus, thank you for your power, for your love, and for your grace. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And so I put my faith, my trust in you. Jesus, forgive me of every sin. I make you my personal Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ's Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.